Kathopanishad, we looked at few mantras last time in the fifth valli, second section of chapter 2. I think it's a little bit too high, I think. You can't hear? Now you can hear. You can still hear. People in the back, you cannot hear? Okay. So I will summarize the mantras that we have seen last time very quickly. What is the theme? What is the idea in that? And then we'll cover the rest of the mantras today. So in the spiritual progress, as I mentioned before, the first step in the spirituality is to recognize and understand and accept that there is consciousness which is different from everything else which is not consciousness. In other words, the world appears to be alive. We seem to think that this body, mind and intellect are functioning on its own, so therefore it is hard for us to accept that my body could be jada, that my mind and intellect are actually inert, that my gross body, physical body, is inert, that every other entity that I see moving around in this world is all also inert. But that is the reality. If you look at it through logic, we come to recognize that they all appear to be alive because the sentiency to all these inert entities is given by that which is called consciousness. In spiritual language, we may call it Brahman or Paramatma or Atma or Jivatma. So when we say that that consciousness which is empowering my gross body and my subtle body, then we call it the Jivatma. That is to say that that consciousness which cannot be divided into parts for the purpose of explaining, the purpose of logic, for the purpose of understanding, we can say that it is the Jivatma. The Jivatma is the indweller in my body. So the one who is indwelling in my body is Jivatma. Therefore, I become Jiva. I become a living entity. And similarly, there is a Jivatma in every entity that is moving about. So we say that that consciousness principle, individualized in different entities, is a Jiva or the Jivatma. Now, where did this individualized entities get its power? How is it that this Jivatma, which is in me and which is in all of you, derive its power from? So the teacher here points out that really speaking, the Jivatma also doesn't have an independent power. As a matter of fact, the teacher points out in this Upanishad that it is that consciousness which is the all-pervasive consciousness, like the light of the sun, which pervades the entire world, actually is reflected by a mirror. This mirror is the mind-intellect equipment or the subtle body. And it shines the light on the gross body, and therefore the gross body appears to be shining. That is to say that if I have a room that is dark and somehow the sunlight is not getting into the room, if I strategically place a mirror outside so that because of the way this mirror is placed and the angle that it is placed into, the mirror will be able to catch that light and reflect it into the dark room, and therefore the room will appear to be lighted. Similarly, we all appear to be conscious. We all appear to be sentient. Why? Because we do have a mirror in each one of us. We have a reflecting surface. Not reflecting light, reflecting consciousness. What is that surface? So the teacher points out that that surface is subtle body. That is to say that our mind-intellect equipment has the spatial capacity to take that consciousness which is all-pervasive anyway. It is not necessarily directed towards me or you or anybody in particular. Just like the sunlight, it is all-pervasive anyway, everywhere. But this mind-intellect has a spatial property which doesn't belong to the gross body. In that, it actually is able to reflect that consciousness onto the gross body. And therefore, the gross body and the subtle body both appear to be sentient, appear to be alive, appear to be functioning on its own. Although the truth is that not only this gross body, but the subtle body is also inert. The only difference between the subtle body and the gross body is that the subtle body has the capacity to reflect consciousness. The gross body doesn't even have the capacity to reflect the consciousness. So as long as the subtle body is reflecting that consciousness onto the gross body, we all appear to be alive. But once we accept that, then we say, okay, however, I understand how I function. I understand how my consciousness is functioning. But what is the difference in my consciousness and somebody else's consciousness? So the teacher says there is really no difference. The difference only is in the reflecting surface. So therefore, in some people, the consciousness reflected is very bright. In some people, it may be dull. So all different colors are only there because of the mind-intellect equipment. So just as depending on the quality of the water, the reflection of the sun on the water may be different. And depending on how many pots of water are there, the reflection may appear to be many, many suns, not just one sun. So you have to look up to see whether there is only one sun or not, because if you keep looking down, you may come to the conclusion that the sky is full of suns. I remember when I was a kid, I actually looked at the first time-lapse photography of how the sun sets and rises in the winter in the northern hemisphere. So because it was time-lapse photography, the photographer had been able to capture so many suns on the same surface. And I was really not very mature at that time. And I said, oh, this should be, I should visit that place because you can see the sun, so many suns at the same time. I knew that there was only one sun. But it appeared to me that, oh, maybe I can see so many suns. So it was a trick photography. Similarly, Paramatma has created a trick photography. Therefore, every now and then we look up to make sure that there is only one consciousness, source of consciousness, isn't it? But a source of consciousness is not also up there. Although normally when we pray, we always want to look up. It is everywhere, and it is equal, and it is homogeneous. So the consciousness is not colored. It is not quantified in some person more and less. It cannot be compartmentalized. It is avyaya. It cannot be put into pieces. It cannot be cut into shapes. Therefore, it is shapeless, formless, homogeneous, mass of consciousness. And that is what we call Brahman. So the second step of spiritual progress is to recognize that, really speaking, it is the same consciousness in all of us. If we see any differences, the differences is not in the consciousness. The differences are only because of the reflecting medium and reflecting medium shining the cross body. Right? So that is the second step in the spiritual progress. Then once we come to recognize that and we accept it completely, then we say, where is the consciousness then? I already told you, but I'll go step by step. So that consciousness is actually everywhere, just as space is everywhere. So therefore, we cannot exist without space. Supposing some supreme power decides to suck out all the space, then we'll all be crushed into a single point. Because, you know, for us to exist, space is required. Some of us may take up more space, some of us may take less space, but all of us require some space. And then we have also invented the expression which says that, give me some space, give me some space. As if you can create space and give it. Space is a space. You cannot create space, nor can you give space. Although science now believes that space is created as the universe is expanding. Space is created as the universe is expanding. Because otherwise you have to say, where is it that the universe is expanding into? Okay, anyway, that is a different subject matter. So then we say that there is only one and one consciousness alone. And that consciousness is what we call Paramatma, and the consciousness which we have temporarily accepted as enshrining this individual entity is called Jivatma. So therefore the third step is to recognize that this Jivatma and the Paramatma are one in the same. That is to say that when from within me I say, I am, I am, I am, I don't really mean my gross body. I don't really mean my subtle body. That I is coming from the same source, the consciousness. It is only that when I am this happens, then I actually associate it with gross body, subtle body, etc., etc. So this is my mind, this is my intelligence, this is my mental poised, this is my body, I am handsome or beautiful or this or that, all that comes later. So that I actually is an affirmation of consciousness. I is not an affirmation of this body, gross or subtle. So up to this actually is already explaining in the mantra, that we have mantra that we have seen already. There is one couple of more ideas are there, let me explain that also. So then remember Nachiketa's question was, what happens when the body falls off? That is to say that when the body dies, what really dies? Is it too loud or you can hear it? What really happens when the body dies? Where does the body go? So we can see that after a person dies, the body is still lying there. So now we have to use the analysis that we have used before and see what is leaving and where is it going. So remember, there was this consciousness, which is all-pervading consciousness, the original source of light. Then that original source of light is reflected by the mind-intellect equipment, the reflecting medium, onto the gross body. And so the gross body appears to be alive. Now I can see the body lying there. Therefore I can see that the body has not gone anywhere. Although the person is not alive, the body hasn't gone anywhere. Although the room is not lighted, it used to be lighted, but all of a sudden it is now dark. The room hasn't gone anywhere. Room has only turned from brightness to darkness. The body that appears to be sentient has only gone from sentiency to insentiency. So therefore, gross body doesn't go anywhere. Okay. Now, if the room has become dark, and therefore you come to the conclusion that sun has stopped shining, that will be the foolish thing, isn't it? Just because the room is dark doesn't mean the sun is not shining. Anyway, the sun was not lighting up the room, because the room was constructed such that no light was entering the room. Similarly here, just because the body is dead, the all-pervasive consciousness hasn't gone anywhere. The all-pervasive consciousness is still there, because there is not any room available for the consciousness to go into. By definition, it is everywhere. Therefore, where will it go? Even if it wants to go, it cannot go anywhere. Therefore, the Supreme Consciousness, the all-pervasive consciousness, also has not gone anywhere. The gross body has not gone anywhere. So then a logical person will immediately say, oh ho, I know what happened. Somebody must have knocked that mirror out of the way. And therefore, the mirror that was reflecting the light into my dark room is no longer able to reflect the light in the dark room. Similarly, we have to assume that the mind-intellect equipment has decided to leave, along with all its vasanas and sanskaras and desires and everything. So therefore, this body-mind equipment called the subtle body is now looking for another body so that it can now catch the consciousness, the light of consciousness, reflect that light of consciousness in another body, and becomes the indweller jivatma, dehina, the master of the fort of 11 gates, the puri of the puram, not the puri that we ate today,
Gujaratis will all come to Puri, you know.
Dehi Naha, the indweller of the body, or the master of the fort, or the owner of the chariot. Remember, in the last valley, it is a chariot example was given. So the charioteer is different from the chariot. The owner of the chariot is Arjun. Jiva, Jivatma. Charioteer is Krishna. Then of course the reins is the mind and the horses are the senses and all that. So therefore, if we accept that, another question comes to mind. And that is that, when I realize, how do I know that I am realized? Who knows, I may be realized by now already and then I don't know. That is a tragedy, you know. That is the biggest tragedy. And I go around looking for realization and then I am already realized. So Nachiketa had that question in the 14th mantra of this valli. That how do I know? How do I come to know that consciousness? How do I experience that consciousness? How do I know that I have reached there? And in answer, the teacher is going to sing the aarti that we sing at all times. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandratam. With that, this valli will be over. Okay. So that is a quick summary of everything that we have seen. I don't think I have left out anything. Now let us chant the seventh mantra.
Yoni manye prapadyante sariratvaya dehinah sthanu manyenu sayanti yatha karma yatha srutam. So yoni manye prapadyante sariratvaya dehinah. This is the explanation that we have just seen. So the subtle body prapadyante gravitates, moves towards sariratvaya, a gross body. And having entered the gross body, it becomes an individualized entity called dehinah. So now jivatma is born. Born from what? Yoni manye, the mother's womb. So therefore a jivatma now is born. And sthanum anye anusayanti. And that established in that jivatma is the reflected consciousness. Now how did this subtle body come to identify and select a particular cross body? We have seen this yesterday, but I'll repeat. How does this subtle body, looking for an appropriate gross body, identifies a gross body? So therefore the teacher says here, yatha karma, yatha srutam. Depending on the activities, depending on the karmas accumulated by this gross body in the previous birth, and depending on yatha srutam, whatever shruti that previous body has heard, that is to say, how much knowledge is required. So based on the spiritual progress and based on, in accordance with the spiritual progress, whatever activity was performed, that were selfish activities or selfless activities, will determine an appropriate body. Just as depending on what degree we had held and how successful we were in using that degree to earn how much money, a suitable house is decided by us to live. So I cannot all of a sudden expect to live in house like Trump is living in. I don't mean the White House, the other one. Right? So according to my knowledge that I have acquired and what purpose I use that knowledge to in the worldly life, to earn income and accumulate wealth, that will determine the size and the shape and the quality of the house in which I will go as an indweller. Similarly, what we have understood in terms of spirituality and how we have used that spirituality in practice will determine what gross body I will enter into in the next birth. So this is an often quoted mantra to indicate that Upanishad has also given a stamp of approval on this theory of Punarjanma. Okay, now let us go to 8th mantra. Ya esha saptesu jagarti kamam kamam puruso nirmirmanaha kamam kamam puruso nirmirmanaha tadeva sukram tad brahma tadeva amrutam uchyate tasmin loka sita sarvehe tadunatyeti kaschan etat vaitat, that alone is Brahman. So what is the Brahman? Again, another beautiful example is given. The bottom line of this mantra is the distinctiveness between a sansari and one who has attained liberation, the moksha. So the one who is sansari is under the impression that I am in this world. As long as we feel that I am part of this world, I am subject to change. Sam sarati iti sansara. Sar comes from changing. So the changeness of anything is sarati. And sam means very fast. So this world of plurality, the world of things and beings, is not constant. It is in a constant flux of change. Among that constant flux of change, there is only one entity that is changeless. In fact, it is that changeless entity because of which all the changes are observable. Think about it. You remember your days when you were young. You remember your days when we were going to school. You remember your days when you graduated from the school. Like tomorrow the batch of Chinmay Mission graduates will come out. Then they will become, so they are in their youth. Then they will become full adults. Then they will most likely, having earned a degree, select a job, select a wife, a family, house, on and on and on until they are themselves will become old. And one day they will become non-existent. Who is observing this whole change? It cannot be the body because the body itself is changing. It cannot be the subtle body because subtle body also is changing. Don't think it is the same. My capacity of the mind is changing. I don't remember as much as I used to remember when I was younger. My intellectual capacity, my values with which I live is continuously changing. My ideas are changing. So therefore, they cannot be the ones that are measuring or noticing all the changes. So what is that tattva in me that is aware of all the changes that have happened in me from moment to moment? So therefore, we have to say that there must be a witness to all these changes that are happening in me. And therefore, that witness has to be, according to the description that we have already seen in this chapter, the Supreme Consciousness. So the witness is not that reflecting medium. Please don't make that mistake. The reflecting medium is not the witness, because it itself is changing. Remember, I told you yesterday that in order for an observation to be accurate and complete, the observer must be on a non-moving platform. So the entire gross body and subtle body is on a moving platform. It is changing with time. It's a moving platform. So therefore, all these changes are observed by that which is not changing. And the only entity that is not changing is that all-pervasive consciousness. So therefore, the difference between a one who thinks of himself or herself as sansari, living in the sansar, and therefore buffeted up and down depending on the way things keep on changing, the way surroundings keep on changing, is the one who thinks that I am in this world. That is to say that I am changing with the world. The one who has really achieved the liberation is that person who knows that the world is in me. That is the only difference. So whether I am in the world or the world is in me is the difference between a samsari and not mumukshu. Mumukshu is in between. Mumukshu is trying to get from samsari to moksha. What is a good word for it? Realized. Okay, realized. Okay. So here that is really what is summarized or indicated. Let us look at the word meaning. Ya esa suptesu jagarti kamam kamam puruso. So here you have to say esa suptesu. When we are sleeping, or when I am sleeping, esa jagarti purushaha, the indweller of the body, the indweller of the fort. Remember, this was mentioned as puram, right? So puram, pura isha is purusha. So the one who is indweller in the fort of this body is purusha. That witness that I just talked about. So when I am sleeping, that witness is still jagrat. It is not sleeping. That is to say that I go through these three states of my conscious changes. What are those? The three states that I am aware of. What is it? Waking state, dream state, and deep sleep state. And we know that as a waker, I cannot be in the dream. Or as a dreamer, I cannot be in the waking state. As a waker, I cannot be a deep sleeper. Nor as a dreamer, I can be a deep sleeper. And why am I a deep sleeper? All of us will say, yes, definitely. When I am deep in the deep sleep, I am not a waker or a dreamer. So therefore, I change my identity three times. When I am in the waking state, I am the waker. When I am in the dream, I am a dreamer. When I am in deep sleep, I am a deep sleeper. But some entity is aware of all those three. Some entity is telling me, yes, you had a good night's sleep last night. You have been having a good day so far. You have already eaten good food twice, and the third is waiting. And the same entity also tells me, I don't think you really had a dream last night. That was good. I think you had a good sleep. Isn't it? So who is that who is telling me all that? It must be the one who is not the waker, nor the dreamer, nor the deep sleeper. It has to be independent of the waker, dreamer, and the deep sleeper. That is the witness. So therefore, that witness doesn't change as I change my states of consciousness. That witness, I am. That witness, you are. That consciousness is who we all are. Not the waker, not the dreamer, not the deep sleeper. But then the question again he is answering is, oh, if that was the case, why did you look for another body? So here the teacher says, kamam kamam nirmanaha. Depending on the desires, depending on what needs to be, what desires are left over that were not complete, another body is created for me to experience and get over those desires. So this is a very simple concept that we have seen. It is interesting that it is also there in the Upanishad. But essentially all of us have come with some desires. The tragedy is that going through this life we create more desires. And in fulfilling those desires, my pocket money gets over. Therefore still some more desires are there. So therefore we say, no, not today, my pocket money is over. Now I have to go back to the bank, take some deposit away and go shopping again tomorrow. And then this concept of heaven and hell is given to make us happy, that while you are waiting for the bank to open so that you can go shopping tomorrow again, you will be temporarily be sent to heaven or hell. If you have been a good person, you will be sent to heaven, so that we will keep you in the waiting room full of angels and Coca-Cola bottles and whatever else you like. And they will be serving you while you are waiting for the bank to open. But if you are in the hell, then while the bank is still closed, we will put you in a heated room without air conditioning. You will be sweating and all that. So it is the waiting period. Anyway, that is what we are told. So what is happening at that time to the consciousness? What do you mean, what is happening to the consciousness? Tat eva sukram tat brahma. That consciousness remains pure and impeccable. So while we are suffering as a body, consciousness, nothing has happened. Consciousness is not even aware that you are suffering. Just as the rope is not even, rope doesn't know that you are looking at the rope as a snake. What does the rope know? Rope is in his own masti. So, that eva, that consciousness is the Brahman. So the consciousness and the Brahman are one in the same. And it remains impeccably pure, sukram. Then the teacher goes on to say that, no, not only that, tat eva amrutam uchyate. That alone is also referred to as amrutam. Amrutam means unchanging, undecaying, undying. So therefore that consciousness not only remains as it is, don't come into any under suspicion that while this body change is happening, the consciousness also goes through a
change. It doesn't. It is impeccably pure, ever pervasive, ever existent at all times. Jhonka tyon. And tasmin lokaha asritaha sarve. And it is actually the substratum on which we are building all these castles. Tasmin loka, all these worlds. So you can take this meaning in two ways. You can say this world, and there are so many other worlds are also there. Patal and Rasatal and all that, and Swarga at the top. 14 worlds I think are named. Or you can say, it is my world. So my world is my samsara. So there is a distinction between Jagata and samsara. Jagata is the one that is the world as it is. Yes, it is not an absolute reality. We all understand that. It is only a relative reality or empirical reality, but it is there as it is. Then we all look at this world differently. Although it is the same, we all look at the world with our own eyes, colored by our own subtle equipment, mind and intellect. And therefore to us, the world appears to be different. Therefore, as many samsara are there, as many people are there. So I create my own samsara out of the world. You create your samsara out of this world. And although there is no conflict in the world, there is a lot of conflict in the samsara. So my samsara and your samsara collide. The world is watching. Actually, world has no sentience. So world is watching is also not a true statement. So the samsara collides. Where have we built it? We have built it on the substratum of consciousness. So tasmin loka asritaha sarve, everything that we see, everything that we interact with, everything that we can think about is actually dependent on the substratum of consciousness. Why? Because it is that consciousness which is giving me the power to observe, the power to act, the power to notice, the power to reason, the power to think. All that power is coming from where? Same consciousness. And then that power is not there, then the world is not there for me. My samsara has ended when the reflecting mirror decided to take a stroll. My samsara has ended. For me, this world is no longer there. And then again, when I start, my samsara starts. Tat natyeti kaschana. The teacher says, really speaking, nothing else is there other than that consciousness. Nothing kaschana, na kaschana. Nothing at all is there other than the consciousness. You have built your own samsara on the substratum of that consciousness. So therefore, I am not in this world. The world is in me because I created my world. So when we come to that recognition, the teacher says, you have reached there. Etat vaitat. That is what you asked for, he Nachiketa. Etat vaitat. That alone is the truth. That alone is what transcends life and death. Yes. All right. Let's go to the ninth mantra. Agnirye theko bhuvanam pravisto.
Agnirye theko bhuvanam pravisto.
Rupam rupam pratirupo babhuva.
Rupam rupam pratirupo babhuva.
Ekastatha sarva bhutantaratma. Rupam rupam pratirupo bahischa.
Rupam rupam pratirupo bahischa.
So Here, the idea is given that if the consciousness is one, how is it that it appears to be in different forms? How is it that one consciousness appears to be in different forms? So three examples will be taken. In this mantra, the example of heat is given, or fire, you can say. In the next mantra, the example is of air. And in the third mantra after that, the example is of the sunlight. So through three examples, we are given a glimpse of how that formless consciousness appears to have gathered form, shape. And then we give that consciousness a name. So Namakaran Vidhi also. Janau Vidhi we saw today. Before that there was a Namakaran Vidhi. So we substantiate the fact that yes, you are an individual entity. Now for Vyavaharik Jagat it is true, it has to be. Otherwise everybody has the same name. Chaitanya come here, then all Chaitanya will come at the same time. So therefore Chaitanya has to be preceded by something. Some individual name, first name. Actually last name of everybody should be Chaitanya only. To remind everybody that you are that consciousness only. You are from the same family tree. Chaitanya alone you are. But first names are different. But then that will also create chaos in the world. Anyway, so the consciousness is formless. But it appears to be having a form. Just as this light illuminating the room appears to have the form of this room. So the light is reflecting my body. So the outline of my body you can see. Outline of my hand you can see. And therefore you think that the shape of the light is the shape of my body. And summarily we can see that the shape of this light is the shape of this hall. But really speaking, light has no shape. Similarly, the teacher says, consciousness has no shape. But because it is the enlivening entity in all different forms and shapes, we assume that that supreme consciousness, that all-pervasive consciousness, has a particular shape. So the all-pervasive light, the formless light, appears to be localized on a reflecting surface. Similarly, the all-pervasive consciousness, the shapeless, formless consciousness. Why does it have to be shapeless, formless? Because if you give it a shape and a form, then it is limited. Anything that has a shape and a form and a name is limited. Only that which has no shape, no form, therefore no name, is limitless. So therefore that limitless consciousness appears to be limited because of its association with limited body, which has a particular shape and a form. This idea is really indicated here in the 9th, 10th and even the 11th mantra. So let us go through those and let us look at the word meaning. Did I chant this already? Okay. So Agni hi yatha ekaha bhuvanam pravisto. Just yatha means just as. Just as the heat or the fire is only one. Agni yatha ekaha. But when that Agni, when that fire, when that light, or when that heat, bhuvanam pravishto, enters an individualized entity. Bhuvanam here can be taken as a building, or it can be taken as a loka, the whole world. What happens? Rupam, rupam, prati rupo babhuva. It takes on the identity of different rupas, different shapes and forms that it actually enshines. So we come to the conclusion, therefore, that this is an individual conscious packet moving around in the world. This is an individualized conscious packet moving around in the world with no consciousness in between the two packets. Okay, let me repeat that again. So therefore, in the light of this room, it appears that there are so many consciousness packets that are present, and there is no consciousness in between you and your next neighbor, because I don't see anything, because there is nothing, because light is not shining anything there. Now, if some person gets up and sits in between the two of you, then yes, there is another packet of consciousness. That is our perception. But really speaking, light is everywhere. If light was not there, there was no chance that the third person who is sitting in between the two now will all of a sudden be also be shining. Similarly, if consciousness was not there, then consciousness will not be shining through an individual who was not originally there. So therefore, just as light is everywhere in this room, heat is everywhere in this room. I will come to the heat example. Similarly, consciousness is everywhere in this room, but it temporarily takes up the shape and form of an individual entity that it is enshining. Now what happens if the light is not there? Let us assume for a moment we are in India, because the electricity actually is not continuous, you know. See, the Indians are that way, you know, very spiritual, because every now and then they want to point out the mistake that we have in our understanding. Therefore, they give us a chance to spiritually evolve by turning the light off for a moment. Say, look, see, because in darkness, everything merges into darkness. Now that darkness is one or not? Darkness is one. Why? Have you gone away from there? No, you are still there, but the light is not shining. Therefore, we all merge into one darkness. Okay, you have merged into one darkness. Who is aware of it? Me, the observer, lighted by my consciousness, is aware of the fact that I can't see any differences between all individual packets. Therefore, in darkness also, I am the seer. In fact, the last mantra of this valli will tell us that there is no light other than that light alone. It is in the light of the consciousness that we see the differences. It is in the light of the same consciousness that we actually see no differences also. That is why the teacher says, ekaha tatha sarva bhuta antaratma. That consciousness is one and one alone. That alone is the existing fact. And it is also the indweller in sarva bhuta antaratma. Sarva bhuta means not bhutas. not ghost. Bhuta means those who exist are called bhutas. So all of us are bhutas, and that consciousness alone is the indweller in all of us. Rupam, rupam, prati rupo. And it is enshrining our shape and form, and it appears to be taking on the shape and form. Consciousness appears to be taking shape and form of every individual entity, just as the light right now, although it is shapeless, formless, is taken on the appearance of having the shape and form of the person it is enlightening. Okay, now there are two things I want to make clear. But you know, you talk about light, 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 and the teacher is talking about Agni. So this Agni is a really famous example of how association with something else appears to give a shape and form to that which has no shape and form. That is why the word Agni is used. And the common example is, if you take an iron ball and put it in fire, the iron ball will become red hot. And so if you pick up that red iron ball with a tongue and place it somewhere, the fire appears to have the shape of the sphere, although you know that fire has no shape and form. The fire in association with that iron ball appears to have a spherical, circular, spherical shape. Similarly, although the consciousness has no shape and form, in association with all of us, it appears to have a shape and form. So in order to indicate that, the word Agni is used, but I did not take description of Agni. I actually used light, because light makes an easy sense for us. Although Agni was a well-known example at that time. Now the next mantra is very similar. You only replace Agni with Vayu. When you replace Agni with Vayu, that's the next mantra. So let us chant it. Vayur yathaiko bhuvanam pravisto, rupam rupam prati rupo babhuva. एकस्तथा सर्वभूतांतरात्मा रूपं रूपं प्रतिरूपो बहिश्च. So here the Vayu is actually indicating prana. So the vital air that we breathe in and out, in and out. That will make much more sense than Vayu. So Vayu is the air, prana. Now, why was it necessary for the teacher to give two examples? Because usually one example is sufficient. So the idea is, in the case of Vayu, not only the Vayu changes from an entity to entity, but it also changes from moment to moment. So when we breathe in, it's different. When you breathe out, it's different. So in order to indicate the fact that the shapes and forms that are enlightened by the consciousness is not only in the realm of space, but the consciousness is shining all the experiences in the realm of time also. So in order to bring that concept of time into the concept of space, the example of Vayu is given. And space and time go together. Okay. Other than that, everything is the same. So Vayuhu Ekaha. Vayu is all one. But Bhuvanam Pravisto, when it enters a particular shape and form, a particular hall or a building or a body, Rupam Rupam Pratirupo Bhuva, it takes on the shape and form of that entity that it is enshrining. Ekastatha Sarvabhuta Antaratma. That consciousness is only one and one alone. It is the indweller in all different looking entities. Rupam Rupam Pratirupo. Now one thing I did not mention in the last mantra, which I will mention in this mantra, is there is this word Bahischa that comes in the end. It is probably the most important word in the mantra. That Bahischa means external world as well. So that Supreme Consciousness, that all-pervasive consciousness, not only shines forth and reveals the internal world, but it also reveals the external world. So the subjective experiences and the objective experiences, the giver of those experiences is that Supreme Consciousness alone. Okay. Let's move on to the 11th mantra. Suryo yatha sarva lokasya chakshuhu. Na lipyate chakshu serva bahya dosaihi. Na lipyate chakshu sai bahya dosaihi. Chakshuhu esaha bahya dosaihi. It is a sandhi, so a little difficult to chant. Ekastatha sarva bhutantaratma. Na lipyate loka dukhe na bahya. Okay. Suryo yatha. Just as sun. Here the sun has to be translated as sunlight. Just as the sunlight is considered to be sarvalokasya chakshuhu, is considered to be the eye for the whole world. So all our observations are possible only in the light of the sun. Now don't say no, the electricity is also there. All the waking state experiences, we can say, is available only because of the sunlight. Without the light of the sun enshining this loka, the world, we will not be able to see anything. And no matter how many artificial lights we put, that experience we know is totally different from the sunlight experience. Okay. Of course, at that time, electricity was not invented. So therefore, sun is an apt example of how the sun is shining the whole world. So therefore, the sunlight is considered to be sarvalokasya chakshuhu, the eyes of the world. But although the sun is shining the whole world, the sun does not take on the property of that which it is shining. So na lipyate chakshu esha bahya dosahi. The property that is actually, the property of the thing that is actually now visible is not in any way touching the light which makes it visible to be in the first place. So therefore, the consciousness because of which all our observations are possible is not touched by any observations that we make. So this is here indicating of asanga guna of consciousness. So So the consciousness is not touched. Consciousness doesn't become impure by what it comes under. So therefore the consciousness in the most learned person is the same consciousness in the most dumb person. The consciousness in the most honest person is the same consciousness in the most dishonest person. The consciousness in the peaceful person is the same as the consciousness in the rowdy person. The consciousness does not change its characteristic because of the reflecting medium. Consciousness remains impeccably pure. Therefore, the teacher says, Ekas tatha sarva bhuta antaratma. It remains that one supreme pure consciousness, although it is indwelling in different types of bodies. Na lipyate loka dukhe na bahya. Not only it is not touched by internal qualities of the entity, but it is also not touched by bahya dukha. It is not touched by whatever is happening in the world as well. So therefore consciousness does not create sorrows of the world. Consciousness does not create miseries of the world. Consciousness remains impeccably pure. Those sorrows and miseries are created by who? By me. How can you say that? We do that every day. What are you talking about? That's what we do in the dream state. In the dream, who created the dream world? I created the dream. Are you there? Yes, of course I am there. What do you mean? How can I experience the dream world without me being there? So the dreamer is in the dream world. And then in the dream, the tiger was running behind me. I don't know why it is always the tiger, never the lion. And so I am running through the forest and there is water and there are other animals and there are some other people with a bow and arrow are also trying to kill me. I don't know why they are after me, but they are all after me and I am running and I am panting and heaving and all of a sudden I get up. When I get up, I say, it was only a dream. Similarly, the teacher says, this is also the waking world that you have created your own samsara. So your own mind and intellect, don't blame the consciousness, don't blame the Paramatma, don't blame the Brahman. You are the author of your samsara. Eko vashi sarva bhutantaratma. Ekam rupam bahuda yah karoti. Tamātmastham yenu pasyanti dhīrāha tesām sukham sāsvatam netareṣām. Okay, now the 12th and the 13th mantra are also very similar. Just a few words here and there are changed. So let me explain the 12th mantra properly, then you will understand the 13 automatically. We'll go through it. So, in both this mantra 12 and 13, there are 4 lines. How many lines are there? 4 lines. So, the first and the second line talks about Paramatma Swarup. What is the nature of the Paramatma? Now, please understand that nature of the Paramatma cannot be indicated because it is nirguna. And yet the teacher will try. So therefore Paramatma Swarup is indicated. The nature of the Paramatma, the nature of the consciousness is indicated in the first and the second line. Then in the third line, we will be told that the same Paramatma is the one dwelling in you as Jivatma. So therefore, Paramatma, Jivatma, Ekyam, the identity between the Jivatma and Paramatma is indicated in the third line. And in the fourth line, If you come to recognize that, what will be the benefit is indicated. Okay, simple. So once we know that, then the mantra becomes very easy. First and second line, Paramatma Swarup is indicated. Third line, Ekyam between Paramatma and Jivatma is indicated. Fourth line, if you come to know this, what will happen is what is the benefit, what is the fruit is indicated. Okay, okay, let's now look at it. Ekah Sarva Bhutantar Atma. That one alone, one and one consciousness alone, one without the second, there is no second. One alone is actually dwelling as Antaratma of Sarva Bhuta, all the living entities. And it is indicated here by the word Vashi. Vashi means controller, ruler, supreme entity, supreme authority. The word that is contrary to Vasi is Parvas. Parvas means not in control. Vasa means, Vashi means one who is in control. That is also indicative of the fact that it is independent entity, it is not dependent for its existence on anything else. Gross body is dependent on its existence for what? Subtle body. Subtle body is dependent on its existence for, you can say causal body, but you can say supreme consciousness. So therefore subtle body and gross body has no independent existence other than in the presence of that consciousness alone. But for consciousness, there is no need for anything else for it to be present. In fact, therefore it is called Vashi. So, Eko Vashi Sarva Bhutantaratma. And although it is one and one alone, Ekam Rupam Bahuda Yah Karoti. It makes itself available in different shapes and forms depending on what it is trying to shine. So, it is all one homogeneous mass of consciousness. But dependent on what it is shining, it appears as different forms. Tama Atmastham. That which remains established in what? In the body. Yaha Anupasyanti, Yaha, whoever he who may be. This typical Gurudev's way of explaining Yaha. Whoever he who may be, Yaha, that is to indicate that there is really no barrier for anybody to come to this knowledge. Anupasyanti, such a dhiraha, such a person who has established entity with dhiraha. Dhiraha means, dhi indicates buddhi. So one who is logically able to see the argument, accept the argument and get established in this fact, such a person, anupasyanti, will see that it is the same consciousness which is the indweller in all different entities. Now, anupasyanti here can be translated two ways. One common way of translating is anu means continuous. So, Radha becomes Anuradha. Continuous. Pasyanti means to see, so you can say Anupasyanti means continuously see. A better translation perhaps right now is comes to recognize Pasyanti, comes to see through Guru Vakya and Shastra Vakya is also called Anu. So one who comes to recognize, one who comes to see the logic, one who comes to accept the logic, one who comes to get established in this logic through what? Through Sravana Manana Nirityasana, based on the teachings from the Guru or teachings from the scriptures. What happened to him or her? Tesam sukham sasvatam. That person will enjoy happiness, which is sasvata happiness. Happiness of what type? Permanent happiness. Unchanging happiness. Happiness that is there at all times. Netaresha. So therefore, such a happiness will be obtained by only that person who has come to accept that logic, not by anybody else. So not by anybody else here is not there because of, to indicate, say, you are not a dhira, then forget it. You are not capable. No, that is not the point. The point is, no other way you will come to recognize and be realized other than through the path of knowledge. Other than through the path of sravana, manana, nididhyasana. That is why anupashyanti. Only through scriptures, only through Guru's advice, you will come to recognize who you are. And once you come to recognize who you are, the teacher says, you will own happiness at all times. Happiness will become our servant. Happiness will serve us at all times. Now, same idea is there in the next verse, next mantra. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetanana.
Nityo nityanam chetanas
chetanana. Meko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman. Thank you. Eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman.
Eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman.
Tamatmastham yenu pasyanti dhiraha. Tesham santihi sasvati netaresham. So here the same idea is given a little differently. That which is nitya, that which is unchanging, that which is permanent, that nitya, that supreme consciousness, anityanam, dwells in that which is impermanent. This ephemeral, all the entities of this world, the ephemeral world of change, that constant, that unchanging entity appears to be in the changing entities. That chetana, that sentiency appears in that which is achetanana, appears in that which is insentient. So therefore the sentient permanent entity as an indweller dwells in the impermanent insentient entities. And that eko, that one, because that permanent sentient entity are not too many. Is only one. But the one that it is shining are many. Therefore, that one supreme consciousness, Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kama. Bahunam Yo appears in different forms and shapes and fulfills the desires of those individualized entities. Tama Atmastham. Dwelling in their own bodies. This alone is the truth. That all-pervading entity is the only truth. Yaha anupasyanti dhiraha. Whoever he who may be who comes to recognize this fact, tesam santi sasvati netaresham. That person alone will gain peace. Not anybody else. So in the previous mantra, the word sukham was used. In this mantra, the word santi is used. And they also are indicative of two different ways in which we actually explain consciousness. Consciousness, which is nirguna, is explained two ways. What is one? One way is all pervasive consciousness. That's what I have been telling from the beginning of this class. All pervasive, all pervasive, all pervasive what? When nothing else is there, then all pervasive also is a stupid state. Temporarily, we have to give it something so that it comes under our khopdi. So we say all pervasive consciousness. So all pervasive consciousness, when we come to recognize it, it gives us sukham. So the transcendent nature of Paramatma, the transcendent nature of consciousness brings us happiness. And the imminent nature of Paramatma gives us the shanti, the peace. So the idea that I am never away from Paramatma, I am never separate or distinct from Paramatma, brings peace to Jiva. The idea that I am not just limited in this body, but I am all pervasive everywhere else, brings sukham. Well, you say, you know, wait a minute, where is the logic? You know, what are you telling? So I'll give you an example. Only through example I will make myself very clear. This is actually a real example. So Swami Ramatirth came to America. And, you know, he gave lectures about the Vedantic philosophy. And so there happened to be some reporters. So there was one curious reporter who followed Swami Ramatirtha when he left the hall. And he said, Swami, Swami, wait. You were telling us in the lecture that everything is yours only. That you pervade everything, you pervade everywhere. What do you mean you pervade everything and you own everything? What do you mean you own everything? So Swami Ramatirtha turned around and he says, yes, that is the truth. He said, what do you mean? He said, look, what is that? So that's a bank building. All the accounts in that bank are mine. What is this? Sukham. All pervasiveness give sukham. Then the reporter was not very satisfied. So he kept trailing. He said, Swami, Swami, Swami. But you said you created this moon, you created the stars, you created everything. You are the creator of all entities here. So Swami turned around and he said, you have any doubt? Do you have any doubt? So the imminent nature of Paramatma. I am the creator of everything. Without me, nothing is possible. Gives you what? Shanti, peace. You understand? Now this famous question comes. Tadetad iti manyante. अनिर्देश्यं परम सुखम् कथं नु तद्विजानीयाम् किमु भाति विभाति वा तद् एतद् इति मन्यन्ते. Now here it doesn't say whether this question was posed by Nachiketa or whether Yamaraja himself asked the question and then he is answering the question. We don't know. Let us assume that Nachiketa had this question. Tat etat. This. Tat etat. Tat means that. This is. That is to say that consciousness alone is this. Manyante comes to be recognized. Anirdeshyam param sukham. And you say that it is actually gives immeasurable supreme sukham. It is the author of immeasurable supreme happiness. katham nu tad vichaniyam. With what am I going to able to perceive it? How am I going to experience it? And how am I to know that I am realized? Because after realization also, you know, you go on doing your practice and so on. Waste. So he says, Kimu bhati vibhati va. How do I come to know that it's, I'm realized? How does it? Will it tell me that, hey, Nachiketa, wake up. You're now realized better. Relax and go to sleep. Kimu bhati vibhati va. Will it shine by itself? Will that knowledge shine by itself? Will I come to recognize that by my own? Or will my guru have to come and say, okay, Nachiketa, over, you are done. Next. So the most famous answer that we chant every time comes next. Om natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yamagnihi tvameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya vasa sarvamidam vibhati. So the teacher answers this. By the way, this has also appears in the Mundaka Upanishad, as many of you I'm sure know. So the answer is that this ananda, this happiness is Brahma ananda. And it is a subjective experience, it is not an objective experience. So just as in an objective experience, the experiencer and the experienced are two different entities, in a subjective experience, the subject alone is the object. Therefore, the subject-object relationship will not be there. Therefore, the experience of the happiness is not as if I am experiencing happiness. Then, I become the happiness. That is why they say that Brahmavit Brahmeva Bhavati. The knower of the Brahman cannot remain distinct from Brahman. Knower of the Brahman does not remain distinct from Brahman. The only way one comes to know Brahman is by becoming Brahman. The rope does not remain distinct from snake. Once he recognizes that, oh, you had made a mistake and you are beating me because you think I am a snake. You understand? Every part of the snake has become the rope. You cannot say that, okay, I think that I know that the mouth is not snake, but I'm not sure about the tail, you know. I have to do some more sadhana. Half the snake I have removed, other half, you know, it has taken me 10 years to remove half the snake, the other half I will remove another 10 years. So, I'm about halfway in my spiritual progress. There is no such spiritual progress, either you are here or you are there. Either you are still seeing the snake on the rope, or you are seeing the rope as the rope, period. No in between. In between, we are all same. Unrealized, dumb, fools. Now, another point. This spiritual progress has to be recognized by wisdom. I told you a little bit about it last class. So therefore the journey in spirituality is in the field of logic. Why logic? Because I have misunderstood my real nature. And when my real nature is misunderstood, I have to logically understand that I have misunderstood. Now, what is the how far is the removal of misunderstanding from understanding? How far is removal of misunderstanding from understanding? Not far at all. Either we can say that the understanding will remove all the misunderstanding, or we can say that when the misunderstanding is removed, I will understand. Yet we have to say that the removal of misunderstanding is through logic. And it is only when you leave that logic behind that you will really understand. Why? Because as long as logic is being used, I am the applicant of logic. Therefore, I remain separate and distinct from the very subject. So therefore, ultimately when I leave the logic also, when I will leave the logic when I know that my logic is clear. That is the parody, that is the conflict. I leave the logic when I understand that my logic is clear. Or all the argument that has led me to this point are very logical and therefore I accept. But then when I accept, I am still holding on to the logic, then I still maintain the dvaita bhava. Therefore, in order to jump into Advaita, the final logic also has to drop. That is what is really being pointed out here. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandra taraka. The sun and the moon and the stars, they really don't have their own light. It is really in your light of consciousness that they are shining. So how many sources of light are there? All are mentioned here. The sun, the moon, the stars, and the vidyutu, the lightning. So these are all phenomenal sources of light. So none of these light sources are capable of shining you, because in your light they are nothing. Just as in the light of the sun, we cannot see any stars. We can only see the stars at night. So in your effulgence, in your light, their light is nothing. This is a prayer. So therefore, the guy who is making the prayer in the aarti time, we are saying, kutoyam agni, this little feeble light that I am holding in my hand, what this light can do? When these phenomenal lights are impossible to enlighten you. So this is also indicative of the fact that all external sources of knowledge, while important in spiritual progress, are incapable of shining the light on my subjective nature. So my subjective nature, who has to shine the light? Myself. And for that I am doing this sadhana, upasana, purification of mind I am doing. So therefore this is offered as a prayer, O Lord, I know that when these lights cannot shine your nature, how can this feeble light? But I am offering to you as my upasana, my sadhana, as my arati. I know tameva bhantam anubhadi sarva. It is your light alone that is really spread throughout this whole universe. And everything appears to me, everything I can recognize, everything becomes a subject of my apprehension, cognition, only because you are lighting up them. It's only in your light alone that I am seeing all this. And tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhasti. In your light, I see everything. It's a repetition to some extent. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhasti. In your light of consciousness, in my light of consciousness. Don't keep saying your, because then it will become your only. In my light of consciousness alone, everything appears to be. And therefore, that light I am. Since I am that light, hey Nachiketa, don't ask me the stupid question, in which light I will be able to see that light. Because light does not require another light. Light is a self-effulgent entity. In fact, it is so self-effulgent that only in that light all your experiences are there, hey Nachiketa. Therefore, this is the beautiful answer that is given by the teacher. With that, this valli is over. With that, our 3-day yajna is over. 6th valli is still there. So we will finish that next. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.